Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Thursday, April 16th. I got my taxes done at 9:33 and had to drive across the causeway to take it to the only office, post office that was open until midnight. But I got it in, and there were all these cars, and they've got people from the post office standing out to collect all the late comers. You know, you would think they give us so many days, all 4 months. You would think I could do it sometime between January and April, but I end up doing it on April 15th. Anyway, that's all done now, and I can put my attention on other things, and so can you. And so today we're going to have a delicious show. We haven't talked about food in a while. And my guest is Annie B. Bond. She's been on the show half a dozen at times at least before. And we've been friends for very many years. And she's written a book, co-authored a book called True Food, 8 Simple Steps to a Healthier You. And I just totally agree with every word that it says about the importance of these particular food choices that we're going to be talking about today. And, well, we'll just get right to Annie. Hi, Annie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here. And I think we've known each other for at least 25 years, something like that. So
I think so, too.
Yeah. Which does age us, but nonetheless, there we are.
Nonetheless, there we are.
Yeah.
Well, it just goes to show how experienced we are.
Yes, it does. I know.
Yes, it does. I just love this book, True Food.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. That's an honor.
Yeah, I should say that it's an award-winning book. It won the Gourmand Awards Best Health and Nutrition Cookbook in the World. And
yeah, that was quite a feat. I was very proud of that. That was great. So
how does that happen? Did your publisher submit the book for the award?
Yeah, the publisher did. Yeah, that's right. And we were all invited to go to Paris to accept the award, but they didn't fund it though. So it would have been.
Did you go?
No, I didn't. It would have been a joy to go, though. But that,
what an incredible thing. But just to have the award is an amazing experience.
It is, yeah. And the book is an interesting book because, which I can tell you the history of the book at some point,
Just tell us right now.
Oh, okay.
How did it come to be written?
It started off as actually another book. It started off as the Green Kitchen Handbook, and Meryl Streep wrote the foreword to it, and it was written, I wrote it with Mothers and Others for Livable Planet, and I worked with them in the early 90s and actually was the founding editor of the Green Guide, and the reason I want to tell the story is just that Meryl Streep and Wendy Gordon got on the Today Show around Earth Day in 1989 and talked about Alar and apples. And the, it was a pivotal point from that moment on, it was like a hockey stick of interest in organic food. And, but Meryl Streep got pounced on like no other in terms of the science behind Alar and apples. It turned out that it wasn't maybe an carcinogen, but it was a neurotoxin, something like that. And I mean, it was really unbelievable how the industry came down on her. And she was just trying to protect her 4 kids and was doing the best she could because she was feeding them apples 4-3 meals a day, that kind of thing. And so what happened is that Mothers and Others for Livable Planet, which is the organization that Meryl Streep and Wendy Gordon Rockefeller founded, ended up getting scrupulous with their science around food. And so, they trained me well at that time. I mean, it was really, really valuable lesson. And so every single word that went into the Green Kitchen Handbook was vetted by all these food scientists because they didn't ever want to go through what they went through with the Alar and apple story. Mm-hmm. So that's the background about this book. So then by the time we ended up pushing it out into a sort of a new version of the book, which became True Food, I just was great to know how well vetted the science was. That's all I wanted to say about it.
No, but I think that's really important, and that's something that's been that I've had attention on too myself, is to really make sure and I'll just talk about this for a minute just because it's such an important point, is to really make sure what my sources are. And in the world of writing, there are like first-hand sources and second-hand sources and third-hand sources. And for our listeners, what that means is like a first-hand source would be if I had an experience and I wrote about it, or if Annie had an experience and she told me about it and I wrote about it. That's firsthand. If you read something, say on my website, that is now a secondhand source. If you were to then write it and say, Deborah Lynn Dadd says, Alar and Apple's cause, that's now a secondhand source. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, it gets, and so especially on the internet, what you see is a lot of information that has been pulled from other websites. And that is actually really encouraged now. You can take courses in how to use other people's information and repeat it on your site. And if you go to, if you look up a subject, you'll see that a lot of the websites say exactly the same thing, almost in exactly the same words.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, because it's just a waste of time when people do that, because there is valuable information that people need to have. And so I've been really careful in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years or something, more careful. Not that I wasn't careful before, but before I would sometimes be kind of vague. But now I know if I say this is toxic, I can show you the study. And often if you look on my blog, you'll see that I show, here's the link to the study, and here's the link to a magazine article that's easier to read about this study.
Exactly. That's a really, really good solution for that,
yeah.
Because it's, And it's certainly in the news recently, too, is the value of science, especially when you're talking about toxics. And you need to be able to back it up so that you can hold your head up, or you're going to get attacked, like poor Meryl Streep did. I mean,
right.
That was really, really unbelievable and a very chilling message for people that, you know, that. But you're totally right about the Internet. And how many times have you been plagiarized? I've had an entire book almost plagiarized completely. You know,
many, many years ago, after my first book, Non-Toxic and Natural, in 1984, in about 1986, I was watching TV and Ralph Nader was on. And he just took something right out of my book because I had written it in a very specific way. And he just practically said it word for word on national television. And I was sitting there going, what? That's my formula. He's just taking this information right out of my book and not giving me any credit. But
isn't that something? Yeah.
It's something. And so I know, and I can recognize when people have plagiarized my work, and I know you can too. And,
yeah.
And I, you know, people just pick up this stuff and repeat it and don't give sources. And people really need to watch out for that and know what your source is when you're reading something. And I think toxics are so important that if I say something is toxic, there's got to be a study. There's got to be some reason, and not just because somebody said it or it was on the XYZ blog. It's because there's actual science behind it. And
yeah.
If there isn't, then I say, this person reported their symptoms were, or something like that. I don't try to make it sound like
a fact.
For
everybody or whatever.
For everybody.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting near the end of the first segment. We've already gone through a quarter of the show, and we haven't talked about
food. Oh, no, we haven't even talked about food.
I know. But we've said some other important things. So I'll tell you what I want to do while we're ticking down for the last few seconds here. First, I want to read something because this is just so wonderful. It just gives the flavor of what your book is about. This is a dedication I want to read for the listeners. To all people whose hands reached out to sow the seed, till the soil, pick the produce, snap the beans, remove the stems, and make the meal. And I just think that that's so beautiful. It really shows that food really is about all these hands and all these hearts doing these things to make the food that's on your plate. And we don't often think about that, but we're going to talk about that today. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Annie Bond, author of many books, but today we're talking about True Food, 8 Simple Steps to a Healthier You, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my My guest today is Annie Bond. She's the author of True Food, 8 Simple Steps to a Healthier You. And she also blogs and leads the selection of toxic-free products for The True Find, which is at thetruefind.com. And lest we go off on another tangent, I just want to say that I was looking at your blog the other day, and there's so much good information, and it's so beautifully done.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. Really, thanks so much.
Very aesthetically pleasing to look at the images and to see what you've said about all these different natural things. So, good work.
Anyway, let's talk about the book.
Let's talk about the book because it's so good. So, there's 8 steps here, and let's try to get those 8 steps in. So, I think we just need to talk about each one of them very briefly. And the first one is eat local food.
Yeah, it's interesting that certainly we all hear about eat local, but there's some really interesting reasons why that many people don't necessarily understand. And one is certainly the amount of energy it takes to get a piece of produce to you from the closer versus the farther away in terms of gas. And fuel, but one thing that a lot of people don't quite realize is the difference in the nutritional value if the fresher the food is. So if you can go to a farmer's market on a Sunday and the farmers all pick that food that morning, you're getting much very, very vibrant energy that you wouldn't be getting if it was 2 weeks old because it had been shipped up from who knows where. Another concern of food that's shipped, especially out of the country, is that they often carry what they call the circle of poison, which are pesticides and herbicides that have been taken off the market in the U.S. and they're still being used in third world countries. And so we often then can get those pesticides anyway if they come in on the turnips or whatever that have come across the border. So those are three good reasons to eat locally. So
today on my food blog at toxicfreekitchen.com, I wrote a post about heirloom tomatoes, just buying local heirloom tomatoes. Just over the weekend, there's a new market that's opened here in St. Petersburg, which is about 45 minutes from where I live in Florida. And they have local organic heirloom tomatoes from local farmers.
Nice.
And so I wrote a post about buying these tomatoes, and there's a little picture of the salad that I made out of them and some more information about heirloom tomatoes. And so having produce like heirloom varieties, which means that they're grown from seeds that are passed down from generation to generation and not made by multinational corporations that make hybrid seed. But these are like true tomatoes. Talk about the title, True Food. These are true tomatoes. Or whenever you see that word heirloom, that means it's the true vegetable or fruit. And you don't get those at supermarkets where they're being shipped in from other states or other countries. And they're just so beautiful. I love heirloom tomatoes. I used to grow
them. Well, they are, and they're just divinely delicious. And one of my very best friends wrote the book, The Heirloom Tomato, and her farm is not far from mine. And so I get baskets of her heirloom tomatoes during harvest time. And so they will,
yes.
They're wonderful. I'll put the photos on the True Find. But I just want to tell a very quick story that might help people understand the value of going for the heirloom plants. And this woman's husband actually is the one who's put people have heard about the seed vault in Svalbard. It's way up near the Arctic Circle, and so the seeds are being saved. So if anything catastrophe happens on the planet, all those seeds are saved there. Because I want to just talk about the Irish potato famine quickly, which is when the Irish farmers depended on 2 varieties of potato or something, and a blight hit and wiped out all the potato, and they had just massive starvation. But if they had had a wide variety of heirloom potatoes, they would never have had the famine, because at least one or two of these seeds would have been able to withstand the blight. And in fact, there is a seed in South America that happily withstood the blight of those potatoes, that potato blight. So that's just sort of in a nutshell how valuable and important the wider variety of seeds we have for any one species is. Unbelievably important, because it could really stop a famine if you don't wipe out, because you've got resistant seeds. to different diseases.
That's so important. When I lived in California, I lived in a very local little valley where a lot of people knew each other. And we had, there was a woman there who was growing heirloom tomatoes, and she had gone around to like old families in the area and collected their seeds from the tomato plants in their backyards. And so we really had our own San Geronimo Valley tomatoes and people,
nice, yeah.
And I had raspberry canes from my neighbors, and we were constantly swapping the vegetative materials between our gardens so that we could have just that local thing that was the exact plants that had been growing in our local area. And it was just so amazing.
Oh, yeah. That totally is. And the other thing about eating a wide variety of tomatoes, for example, or a wide variety of foods, is that you get a range of nutrients that you wouldn't get if you know, those pink gas-ripened tomatoes that you can get in the grocery store in January. And
what
that
nutrients?
Was your,
there are no nutrients in those tomatoes.
Yeah, I think there are zero nutrients, right? Exactly. But you get my mother was wonderful at this. We had such a bounty of vegetables all week long, different every night. And that, I always took that to heart, that was really good for me growing up. And I haven't been as good as an adult, but I try to be, especially in the summer and during harvest time. But the more variety of vegetables you get, the more variety of nutrients you get, and the healthier it is for you.
That's right. That's right. So I really want to mention that this book is all about not just about what we eat for our own health, but about supporting the environment, supporting the earth and nature while we're making our food choices, which is so important, because without the seeds being there and the plants and the soil and all of that, we would have nothing to eat. And I think it's sometimes we forget that when we go to the supermarket and buy food and don't have our hands in the soil and we're not talking to the farmers and things like that. So this is just a very important book, very important. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Annie Bond. She's the author of True Food, and it really is about true food, 8 Simple Steps to a Healthier You. And we'll talk more about the 8 steps when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're talking about true food today with Annie Berthold Bond, author of... Here, I've known Annie so long, I said Annie Berthold Bond instead of Annie B. Bond or Annie Bond.
You're never supposed to change your name mid-career, and I'm sorry I did. Oh, dear.
Anyway, true food. So now we actually touched on step 2 when we talked about eat a variety of foods. So let's go on to step 3, aim for organic.
Yeah, well, you talked about how important the concepts in this book are for the not just health, but also for the environment. And one of the big crises we have with food production is the damage to soil. And the reason you want to switch, I mean, outside of for health reasons, for the health of the planet, is you want to switch to farms that know how to build and grow soil so that it's you know, very full of nutrients, and that you don't have this horrible wash off of all of your topsoil, which is the so key for growing food. And so organic farms are very mindful of the health of the land, and that's what you want to be. You want to be able to support any farm that is supporting the land. And then you also, I find it's very important for myself to, I mean, our next step is to eat lower on the food chain, but it's very important in terms of eating, if you eat animal products, to eat animals that have been raised in a humane way and yeah. that are on farms that where they're able to eat grass, be outside, you know, get the sun, don't have a violent death, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, the death isn't not violent, but they're not all penned up and in a horrible situation. And mm-hmm. that is become. I do eat meat, and I have vowed, and I've been very rigid about this for a very long time, that I'll only eat meat that come from an organic farm. So
yes, me too.
Because it just, but the truth is that also then the for health reasons, the it was something that we couldn't say in the 70s. I mean in the 90s, when I was telling you how strict we were about what science was available. There was an enormous mm-hmm. amount of controversy in the 90s about whether organic food is more nutritious, and we just couldn't say it was more nutritious at that time. Since then, of course, there have been many more studies and to show that organic food is being proven to be more nutritious for us. And so that's a very nice update for the, you know, good reason to eat organic food. But step four, which was eat lower on the food chain, was really interesting chapter to me to work on, because that was really about the fact that it's about the predator prey. So it's like how much toxic material is stored in our fat. So,
yes.
There are a lot of reasons why organic is important for, or not eating as much meat is important for the environment and that kind of thing. But, and in terms of water usage and things like that, but in terms of health, as we hear, you know, toxic chemicals are all the way up at the blubber that the Eskimos eat and things like that is stored in fat. And so the lower you're on the food chain, the less a fatty animal your parts you're eating, the less contamination.
That's right. So, they just accumulate, they bioaccumulate, the toxic poisons go from, I mean, obviously eating a plant, even if it's not organic, would have less accumulation than of toxic chemicals than an animal who eats those plants and gets all that toxic accumulation and concentrates it in the fat. And that's another reason why it's really important to eat organic as you start moving up the food chain. But you can also eat lower on the food chain too. Okay.
Right, because even organic organic fat, animal fat doesn't mean that it's going to have, it's not going to have contamination because everything's contaminated. That's the thing. Yeah.
Right.
But it'll be better.
At this point in time, everything is contaminated. Organic is a lot less.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So. And it's not because they're adding chemicals. It's because the whole environment is contaminated.
Right. Which hence the blubber on the seals that the Eskimos are eating.
Yes. Okay. So then step five is to eat fresh food.
Right. And there you're going to get all the vibrancy of the enzymes and the nutrients. If you have a farmer's market, as I said, or a community-supported agriculture, they're springing up all over the country. They're called CSAs. And so those usually work where you give a certain amount of money at the beginning of the season, and then you get deliveries every week, or you go to the farm to pick them up. And there, this comes back to that heirloom tomato and the flavor and I can't emphasize enough the difference in taste of fresh food than non-fresh food.
Well, in this case, I belonged to a CSA for a couple of years until I moved to Florida. And in this case, the food is not just picked this morning. It's picked like an hour ago. And it goes right into the baskets. And you can go to the farm, and like the one that I belong to, I could go to the farm anytime I wanted and work and see what they were doing. And I got to know my farmer really well. And one of the best experiences of my entire life was the day that we had a dinner for all the organic farmers in my little area. There was about 10 or 12 of them. And some of us from the CSA, we ran around in the afternoon and picked up the produce from all the farms, and then we did all the prep work in this beautiful kitchen at the farm where we did the CSA, and then we served the farmers who had been, I'm going to start crying.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
That had been serving us our food all season. We served the farmers.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, that goes back to the hands. You know, so you're honoring that, which is really, really nice. And so, you know, even like nuts and seeds, the fresher they are, the better. They can go stale, and the fats can go rancid. But I think one of the great things for me, and I'm sure everybody listening to this has experienced, is the feeling of how you feel after you've had a meal that is just full of all the antioxidants that mm-hmm. come out of this mm-hmm. this kind of food. I mean, you just your whole your whole body sings. And that's what we want to have happen, is our body sing, because it's so healthy
for us. I love
that.
And, our body sing.
Yeah, because you can feel it. You really can. When I juice, for example, I can just feel my, about an hour later, just, wow, it just zings through my body with the antioxidants. It's really great. But I want to say something about frozen food, and that is that if I have a choice in the middle of the winter of choosing a non-organic fresh food that's theoretically fresh, I live in northern upstate New York, so, you know, my winters are really deep winter. I will buy organic frozen food that's organic, that because it will have been frozen at the time of the harvest, and it's going to be the best way to have the most nutritious food. And so you can find the dates. There are places where you can go online and find dates of when food is frozen, and so you can you know, guarantee that it was done during the harvest mm-hmm. time. And that I think is the way to manage trying to get as fresh food as you can in the winter. So
that's a really good tip. I didn't know that. We have to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Annie Bond, and we're talking about true food. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Annie Bond, author of True Food, 8 Simple Steps to a Healthier You. And it's really such a great book because it really describes in general and in detail. I mean, we're talking very generally to get through the whole 8 steps during this show. But if you go to the book and each chapter, each of these steps is thoroughly explained with lots of details and recipes so that you can understand the concept and also understand how to apply it in your life. And I just want to read just a little quote. So the book is full of what are called snapshots of comments that individuals have made who eat this way. And she says, "Since eating only fresh and all natural foods, I've gained more vitality and feel like the bodily aging process has slowed way down." And I was thinking, as Annie was talking earlier, that about fresh food, that, you know, we tend to like reach for drugs or remedies or nutrition pills or, you know, some manufactured product that's sold to be healthy. But if we really just eat good food, it has everything in it that our bodies need, that nature has designed food to be everything that a human body needs. And we tend to not eat the food and then look for some other kind of remedy. But if we would get more fresh, whole, natural, local, organic food in our bodies, we would feel so much better. And we do. I feel so much better when I eat it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and this is a really good natural segue into the next step, which is step six, eat whole foods. Because I have a body that just as unerringly needs whole, whether it be, you know, clean air, full air, you know, true air, true food, true whatever.
Yeah, me too.
And, and so I find if I eat processed food, I finish it and I'm immediately wanting to eat. I overeat. I need something else because it's not a whole food. It's not giving me the complete nutrient of whatever that food is. And I've been, and so it's very, very, I mean, the press, the media is overloading me with horrifying stories about the ingredients in processed food, and it just solidifies more and more and more how off track we are to make food to live on processed food for people. But, you know, just from my own personal experience, I know that I eat more because I'm trying. If I eat processed food, I need the fuller nutrient. But there's just something about the my point was that the other thing about processed food is that we're getting a lot of chemicals that are affecting our endocrine system from food packaging too. So if we have if we eat food that has a lot of plastic in it, or canned food that has the lining has this bisphenol A, these endocrine disrupting chemicals, it's slowing down our thyroids and our different parts of our bodies that help us with metabolism. And so I think that that it's very, very, very important to actually really try to draw the line in the sand and try to avoid processed food. I think the science has just added up where it's incontrovertible now that we need to eat whole foods. And the other thing I just want to say on the high side about eating natural food is that I'm always astonished at how sweet fresh produce is. I just cannot even believe it. It's like sometimes I'll eat a fresh pea or something like that, and I feel like I'm eating a watermelon. It's so sweet. You know, and so it's not like we need to buy sweeteners. I mean, these foods are sweet if you buy them straight out, you know, fresh.
That's right. They are. And especially I noticed that when I stopped eating sugar, everything tasted sweeter to me. I mean, on my food blog a couple of weeks ago, I had a raw asparagus salad and I said, oh, this tastes so sweet, because it does taste sweet to me because I don't have sweeteners, you know, like especially refined sweeteners are not dulling my taste buds anymore. And so I can just really enjoy the sweetness of food. I wanted to just say one thing that I thought of, and that is that even if you're buying something, like I was at a farmer's market and I was talking to somebody about their pasta sauce, which tasted really good. I tasted their free sample. And so I started asking them questions and, you know, it just says tomatoes on the label. And I asked them, well, what about these tomatoes? And they said, oh, they're only the finest Italian canned tomatoes. And so even though it says tomatoes on the label, it doesn't specify that it's a canned tomato, and so you're getting all that bisphenol A.
Isn't that something?
That just really struck home to me that if you're going to buy a processed food product, I mean, even if it's like organic pasta sauce or something, you just really need to check with the manufacturer and see what's really in it as opposed to what's on the label. And I don't think that they're trying to cheat you so much as that there are standard laws about how food products get labeled. And they're following the law, but the law doesn't say that you have to say whether it's in a can or not.
And then another example would be, I was really pleased with this gluten-free bread I've been buying that was delicious. It was very, very high in fiber. It was well made. It wasn't full of, you know, just starches and that kind of thing. And then all this story broke about emulsifiers being really contributing to obesity and these are leavening agents too, and that they're It was really a breakthrough study about 2 months ago or something like that, and I went and looked at this bread that I'd been so finally I'd found a high fiber, gluten-free bread that I didn't have to make, and you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was one of these emulsifiers in it, and I got it at the health food store, of course, and everything. And so it's just once again an example of just don't even take the chance. Buy, you know, make things if you have to, but don't you know, use these ingredients that are long-term considered safe, you know. So they call them the GRAS materials, and they generally are regarded as safe. And you, it's hard to go really wrong when you use those. But I don't know, it's not that hard to cook from scratch, and there are more and more wholesome products that are processed available, but you have to read labels like a hawk.
You do, and it's just a matter of, you know, checking out the materials, the ingredients, and then you know, and then you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's right.
Unfortunately, things are not labeled the way they should be, in my opinion. Anyway, let's go on to step 7, which is stock your pantry.
Well, I think that if we're going to be trying to eat more whole foods and move away from packaged foods, having everything at your fingertips just becomes incredibly important. So that means cooking healthy meals is always convenient as well as nutritious. And it also means that you have fewer packaged foods and fewer packaging and all that kind of thing, and which helps the environment. So all in all, you're just stepping up into your, making you have a healthy diet. So like during harvest season, all you need to go out is get a few fresh vegetables or abundant amount or whatever. And then you've got all the staples at home to make a curry or whatever you want to do. And, it sort of eases the whole thing. I guess one thing I just really want to mention of real issue, though, in terms of that I've got, that includes this packaging problem, is that your pantry is not going to be full of plastic foods that you can throw in the microwave, right? That
right.
There's a lot of research that is showing that especially hot, fatty foods that, like, I used to go on picnics all the time back in the 70s, and I'd have cheese that I would buy, and it would be in the package, plastic packaging, and I always tasted the plastic in the cheese.
Yeah.
And you don't want hot, fatty food in plastic combined at all under any circumstances, because it leaches into the plastic leaches into the cheese, and you know, we just need to avoid as much plastic in our food as we possibly can.
Yes.
So your pantry is with whole foods. It's things like you go to the bin section of the health food store and you buy your what I do is I buy a bunch of I have a ton of glass mason jars, and I buy my red lentils
too.
and they go into the mason jars, and that protects them from the grain moss and all that kind of thing too. All my dry goods are in mason jars in a big cupboard I have, and it just is so easy. If I don't have anything in the house, oh my gosh, I just open the cupboard and there I could make a nice dal with the lentils, and then I've got the herbs and spices and that kind of thing. So it's a real help to speed up the whole process of cooking.
I do that too, and I make sure that I have all my spices and the dry ingredients and things, so that all I have to do is be shopping for the organic meat and the vegetables, and then
yeah,
I can
exactly.
make whatever it is that I want. And I want to say something that I think is going to sound kind of funny, but it used to be, before I started stocking my pantry, I would go to my kitchen and I'd say, there's nothing to eat, and then I'd order a pizza. I know we've all been there.
Well, we have. That's so common. I mean, that's exactly the common
and
thing.
I ate pizza and pizza and pizza and Chinese food and all this delivery stuff because I had nothing in my pantry. But because I always have food in
my
house now.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Because I always have food. It's like I always have cold chicken in the refrigerator. I always have garbanzo beans in the refrigerator. It's just I have these foods that are just my staples. And they're always there, and I always make sure that I don't run out of them, because if I don't stock my pantry, I call the pizza. What else are you going to eat, you know?
I really overeat if I don't have that exact same situation. It's really something, because
right.
if I and then I've got all these wonderful whole foods that satisfy me, and I'm not trying to...
Oh, my God, I wasn't even watching. The show is over.
Oh.
I wasn't watching the time at all. Anyway, number 8 is Green Your Kitchen, and go get Annie's book, True Food, 8 Simple Steps So Healthy Are You. And thank you so much, Annie. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.